like the mandibles of an army of killer ants. Mentally, Ryan tried to gauge the distance to the fuel dump. The resulting blast would obliterate this whole outpost, chilling him just as surely as the blue shirts. But if Ryan Cotter was going to die, then he would take Overton and his troops along for the ride. Pulling the pin, Ryan stood and prepared to charge. A loud crashing in the trees behind Ryan made him turn, grin and blaster at the ready. Incredibly, a flatbed truck festooned with sandbags smashed through the burning bushes. Trailing coils of concertina wire, the truck braked to a halt between the smoking wreck of the LAV and the battered satellite dish. Clem was at the steering wheel, with Mildred in the passenger seat. Throwing open the doors, both started to fire their blasters as the rest of the companions and 20 Front Royal Browns cut loose from the rear of the bedraggled vehicle. A dozen blue shirts dropped before the rest could shift positions and return fire. Suddenly, Nathan Carter jumped from the truck and pointed at the limestone hill.
Kill!
A pack of Front Royal hunting dogs surged out of the wag to silently charge across the clearing. Screaming in fear, two of the Sekhmen dropped their weapons and ran for the cave. The dogs tore them apart in passing and kept going. But the rest of the blue shirts stood their ground and cut the beasts to pieces. One bleeding hound managed to reach the Sekhmen and leaped, burying its fangs into a man's throat before the others could blow off its head. The wounded man lay on the ground screaming, blood squirting into the air, until Overton himself shot the man. Amid the confusion, Ryan darted for the truck, pausing to throw the Grim. It bounced off a wooden crate of MRE packs and sailed into the interior. A second later, the cave shook from an explosion. But again, the fuel dump didn't ignite. Then the halogen lights on the tall poles clicked off, plunging the campsite into darkness. Only the tiny fires of burning wreckage and the red embers of the dying campfire marred the black night.
Nice to see you alive.
Same here. How the hell did you find me?
Ryan dropped the spent Kalashnikov and worked the bolt on his Steyr.
Use the dogs?
Indeed, my dear Ryan.
Doc discharged two rounds from the Lama. Christie stood and snapped off some rounds from her wheel gun, and a cry told of a hit.
The engine was leaking so much oil, we could have followed your trail ourselves.
Smoothly reloading the Uzi with a spare magazine from his munitions bag, JB gave a sideways glance at Mildred's partially untangled hair for the 100th time.
Can't believe that fooled the blue shirts.
It was dark, and Daffer helped divert their attention.
How?
Squeezing the trigger carefully, Mildred chilled a Sekhman with a round directly into the jugular vein of his exposed neck. The man fell back, spraying blood over the others in the cave.
Details later.
Spread out!
Jack tossed aside his long blaster as the weapon emptied.
Truck big target.
Hey, look there!
Dean pointed. There was an indentation in the line of trees, and in the center of the hollow was a large granite boulder.
That's a great place to shoot at the cave.
Not bad.
Clem agreed with him, and coolly fired the Enfield again. Dropping his Kalashnikov, a blue shirt spun as the heavy caliber slug took him in the ribs, and he fell out of sight behind a crate.
Let's go!
Eagerly, Dean started off, intending to circle the clearing. JB grabbed a fistful of shirt, stopping the boy.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Stay away from there!
Nathan dropped a clip from his AK-47 and slid in his last.
Why? Looks perfect.
It is. That's the problem.
Ryan searched for Overton through the scope of his long blaster. Shoving shells into a shotgun, the Sekhman next to Nathan cried out and fell sprawling, a crimson stain spreading across his brown shirt.
What the? He was backshot! The bastards get behind us somehow!
Barely visible in the dying firelight, men were climbing over the ruined barricade on the dirt road. Rummaging in his munitions bag, JB quickly armed and fired the flare gun into the sky. As the rocket ignited, brilliant green light washed over the clearing, showing dozens upon dozens of armed Sekhmen dressed in the fancy embroidered livery of Casanovaville.
Look, that's Baron Carter!
A Casanova sergeant shouted, pointing triumphantly.
We found the secret base of Front Royal!
Another cried out.
So they were going to invade us!
Kill everybody!
The fresh troops opened fire with crossbows and a wide assortment of blasters, muzzle loaders, zip guns, and patched bolt actions, apparently anything that could discharge a live round. At Overton's order, the blue shirts in the cave commenced a massive attack, emptying clips in seconds, only to slap in fresh magazines from a seemingly inexhaustible supply. The tires blew out on the flatbed truck, headlights smashed, and the body rocked from the sheer amount of incoming lead. Caught between the two enemies, the companions hit the dirt and crawled away from the tilted vehicle, seeking refuge at the satellite dish. It offered less defense from bullets than the WAG, but at least it had the loose dirt behind to cover their asses and didn't have a gas tank to ignite.
Road blocked, sec men coming in, truck gone, no way to reach the trees alive. We are trapped.
Squeezed.
Jack brushed the snowy hair from his face. A furtive movement caught his attention, and the teenager spun and fired. A blue shirt cried out and died. Clem calmly reloaded his long blaster.
Seen worse.
Their lieutenant shouting orders indecipherable to the companions over the gunplay, the Casanova troops moved into the clearing, intent on taking the cave. But Overton's weapons forced them back. The enemy troops took position behind the boulder, sniping steadily at the cave opening. Ricochets zinged off the rock walls, rock chips and splinters peppering the companions.
Look where they are!
Dean slapped a fresh clip into his Browning.
I told you it was a perfect spot to attack the cave. They got a clear view of us and Overton, but we can't hit them back.
Unexpectedly, a blue shirt dashed from behind a pile of crates, heading for the campfire pit. He was viciously cut to pieces by the withering Casanova crossfire.
Yeah, it is perfect.
Ryan thumbed a fresh rotary clip into his rifle. Minutes passed with the three groups exchanging fire, but nothing more. With a growing feeling of unease, Nathan realized that he was holding back in the fight, not daring to risk overexposing himself to the enemy fire. The news from Mildred had shaken him greatly, even though it was all good. His wife lived, and they had a son, an heir to the Ville. But the Baron couldn't die until knowing for certain that Overton was dead and they were safe. The survival of his family was paramount, infinitely more important than the Ville and its people. A good Baron would die to protect his Ville, but a father owed more than that to his family. And Nathan had a son, dammit. A son!
What's Overton waiting for?
The Deathlands warrior knew the boulder was a trap of some kind, probably buried explosives with hidden fuses. Fairly standard deployment, and it explained why the rock was so far away from the cave. Only a fool would leave a perfect location for enemies to snipe at his campsite completely unguarded, and for all the things he was, Overton was no fool. Hell, the traitor had used the same trick himself many times in the past. Ryan, too.
Maybe they were damaged by the grin you threw in.
No, if they were hit by the blast, they should have ignited.
Under collapse?
Jack fired randomly at both groups. No cries of pain answered his shots.
Well, they're not in the cave. Could be hidden elsewhere.
Where?
Mildred chose her targets carefully with her ZKR revolver. JB passed her the shotgun, and she removed the shells from the shoulder strap and quickly loaded the scattergun. Following their lead, Nathan switched his AK-47 to single shot to conserve ammo.
Might be anywhere.
However, if the fuses aren't in the cave, then fuses for the cave should be there too.
The woman had recognized the trap as soon as they entered the clearing. However, all swords had two edges. If there were secret fuses leading to bombs to blow up invaders, there also had to be more explosives hidden inside the cave in case the enemy seized the limestone hill and Overton had to destroy his own weapons so they couldn't be used against him. Those fuses could end this whole battle for either side in only seconds. Only, where the hell were they?
Fuses?
Frowning, Clem studied the battlefield.
Only one way to find them, you know.
Yeah, I know. Makes me sick just to think about it. But we got no other way. It's this or die.
Well, heck. Ain't no choice there.
Ryan shouted through cupped hands.
Hey, Overton!
Silence from the cave.
I know you can hear me. We need to talk. You need to die, traitor.
A grenade bounded out of the cave. Mildred fired the shotgun, showering the area with shrapnel, but harming nobody in particular.
Cut the shit! And tell us where the fuses are hidden. They're obviously not in the cave, or else you would have used them already.
More silence.
Tell us, and we'll use them on the others.
Nothing. The words tasted as bitter as ash in Ryan's mouth, but the traitor had always said only a fool fought to the death when he had another way out.
Tell us, and I give my word that you and your men live.
Live as starving slaves in the Baron's dung pit? Fuck you!
Some Casanova men tried a sortie to reach the truck, and never made it halfway there.
We let you live and go free. Keep your weapons, food. I'm talking a full truce. Never bother us again, and we won't go after you afterward. That's a promise.
Bullshit! We don't...